If you ever wonder what I do over here, I press the record button. You can catch sermons online, LCR online, if you're not here on a Sunday. Let me make sure it's moving. Yep.
Let us pray. Now, gracious Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. So we just returned from 2 weeks on vacation. It was wonderful. And I have to say that I met one of my goals while we were on vacation. I stood up on a stand-up paddleboard. So it seems so silly, but we had gone a few years back to a lake, and there was a stand-up paddleboard there, and it looked so easy, and I got on my knees, and I could never stand up. I was so afraid to stand up, and it was tippy. So this time I knew there were stand-up paddleboards there. Going to do it this time. So we went out onto the lake, or it was the ocean. We were looking at a bay of the coast of Maine, but it was a quiet bay. And we took the stand-up paddleboards out, and my kids are sitting there. They're offering me great words of encouragement, directing me what to do, because, you know, it's not so hard, Mom. And I'm on my hands and my knees, and I realized as I'm sitting there, I have all of these thoughts of fear going through my head, right, about how I could fall into the water, how I was going to look ridiculous. And then I thought, wait a minute, this is so silly. I can do this. I have the physicality to do this. I have the core strength to do this. I can balance. And I'm just afraid. So what's the big deal? I fall in the water. It's a little bit cold. I've looked stupid before. I'll look stupid again. What's the big deal, right? And so I kept this self-talk going in my head, and I looked up, and I stood up, and I did it. It was so exciting, and I realized as I was doing it, it was a complete mental game. It wasn't about the physical at all. It was all mental, and my fears about standing up on that paddleboard. And so much of what we do in life is like that, isn't it? It's this mental game of fear. The things that we're afraid of, no matter how silly they might seem, cause us to do things or not do things, some of which would be good for us or fun for us or loving for the world. And yet those fears, they run through our mind. And the question becomes, what will it take for us to overcome them? What is bigger than them? How will we work through them? For Shifra and Pua in our story for today, it was their fear of God. That's what made them stand up to certainly what must have been fear of a Pharaoh, who could have had them killed for their actions. Everybody should know the names of Shifra and Pua, but how many people have ever heard of them? Probably very few. Yeah, Norm, because you went to seminary. Doesn't count. Right? But these women are heroes in the Bible. They're heroes, and very few women are even named in the Hebrew Scriptures or the New Testament, but these women are these kind of mundane Hebrew midwives. But they are named because they were responsible for saving so many lives. They kept Hebrew babies alive, and their story leads right into the story of the birth of Moses. But their story is one surrounded by fear. It starts with the fear of Pharaoh. You see, the world they're living in is such that Pharaoh is in charge of Egypt. He's the king. And the Hebrews are slaves. But Pharaoh is afraid because he says, you know, these Hebrews, they have so many children, and pretty soon they're going to take over everything. And so he's afraid. He spins this rhetoric of fear, which I'm afraid we know all too well in our country right now, actually. What should we be afraid of? Whom should we be afraid of? Who might take over, right? We hear these words. And Pharaoh was doing the same thing, spinning fear. And then he said, well, I know what to do. We'll just kill all the Hebrew males when they're born. And so he orders the Hebrew midwives to do that. But Shifra and Pua don't. And I love what they do. They're kind of sassy. You know, they go and they help with the birth. But then they go back to Pharaoh and they say, oh, Pharaoh, we're sorry. These Hebrews, they're so fast at giving birth. They're so strong. We don't get there in time. And they don't kill the babies. Now, this had to take great courage. The truth is that Pharaoh, because they disobeyed, could have had them killed. And yet, their want to keep life going, their recognition of what it meant to be loving and good people outweighed the orders that they had from Pharaoh, outweighed what they should have done by law. What courage these women had. And it's the kind of faith that I think we all should aspire to listen to the words of God over and above all other words of fear and destruction that are sweeping around us, because the words of God always stand for love and life. Now, why did Shiphrah and Puah do this? We don't know. It says they feared God. Now, it could be that fear was still running their life. Maybe they were just more afraid of God than they were of Pharaoh. They said something like, well, you know, Pharaoh could kill us, but God, this was in the time when there was still a lot of smiting by the gods, right? And so they might have been really afraid what God was going to do to them, more so than Pharaoh. Now, we are called in our lives not to live in that kind of fear. I'm afraid the church has done this for many years. Maybe some of you grew up in such a church or have experienced it, ruling by fear, right? You need to do this, this, and this, or you will go to hell, right? It's all fear-based. And in the Middle Ages, which is what Martin Luther was railing against, this was used often, right? There were people who would travel, and they would light these big bonfires, and they would say, see, unless you pay money to the church, this could be you, right? Very effective in managing people to use fear like that. And maybe that's what Shiphrah and Puah were feeling as well. They were just very afraid of God. But it could be also that that word fear is often translated as awe, as standing in awe of a God who's so magnificent and so big. And maybe it is that awe of God that motivated them. Even if it is not, we are called not to be motivated by fear. Martin Luther, it is not what the Lutheran Church stands for. Luther said we are not to be motivated by fear. Instead, we are motivated by great love. And when we know how much God loves us, and we know how much God has done for us, then we will love our neighbors, and we will work through our fears, and we will step out in the name of life over and over again. This is what we do when we can trust and love God above all else. The first commandment, right? To love and trust God above all else. And yet it's so hard because our fears are so real and so big. We know what we need to do. Shiphrah and Puah knew what they needed to do. Some people have said, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. God doesn't talk to me. God talked to all these people through the Bible. But God has told us over and over, hasn't God? Act with kindness, love justice, walk humbly, love your neighbor as yourself. It's pretty clear over and over and over again in the Bible, but it's also really hard, and our fears get in the way. I started wondering, what are the things that cause us? What are the fears that get in the way of us doing those things? And the first I thought was, well, maybe it's just fear of hard work. Because loving our neighbors as ourselves is really hard work. It's hard enough to love people within our immediate realm, right? Although we'll do that often. I know all of you have some love that's bigger than your fears. I know you do. I was thinking of someone I know who's deathly afraid of spiders, right? She hates them. She can't even look at a picture of them. And yet I know if her children were on the other side of spiders, she would walk through them to get to her children. Now, I'm not talking, I know there are fears that are pathological and need to be dealt with in a professional way, but most of our fears are ones that we would walk through to get to the person we loved on the other side. I know you have love bigger than your fears. But so often, they're contained within our nuclear family or our friends, right? And that's good. Our country loves talking about our nuclear family, and nuclear families are important, but God calls us to something bigger, which is what makes it so hard. God calls us not just to love our children and our spouses and our friends, the people we like to be around. God calls us to love all people who are different from us, babies that are not ours, our enemies. This is incredibly hard work, and sometimes I think we fear that work. Toni Morrison, an author whom I love and died a couple of weeks ago, I found a quote from hers when they were showing a lot of her quotes, and one of them, she said, "Love is always divine, and love is always hard work. Anyone who thinks differently is foolish." And it's true, isn't it? To love is hard work. But we don't need to be afraid of it. What else are we afraid of? I started wondering if often what we're afraid of is what other people will think of us. And I started looking, and the number one fear in the United States is social anxiety. So it's not just being afraid to be in public places, but it's what people think of you and how you look to other people, right? This is the number one fear in our country. And if we're honest, we all think about that, right? What other people think of us, how it's going to look. But is that fear bigger than the love we should have for one another? I think about such mundane situations where you're out somewhere, or you're at work, or you're at the gym, and all of a sudden in a conversation, things are being said that are racist or homophobic or unkind or gossipy. And we're afraid of what to say. We're afraid to say anything because we don't want to look somehow socially inappropriate, right? We don't want people to think something or other of us. And yet that's what we're called to do. Now, I have to say, this is the hardest one for me. Often what I will do is, and then I feel okay, but I'll just walk away, right? I won't participate. I'll just walk away, so I'm not a part of it. But the more and more I read and live and know, the more I'm convinced of Desmond Tutu saying, when you say nothing, you stand on the side of the oppressor. We are not called to say nothing. We are not called to walk away. We are called, like Shifra and Pua, to raise our voices and speak love and speak acceptance and speak for the wide open arms that Christ has in the world. That is what we are called to. But it's scary. And the last thing, there's more. These are the three I came up with, very Trinitarian of me. The third one I came up with was our physical safety, which is very real, isn't it? I think we fear for our physical safety, and with good reason. There have been many times where I haven't helped someone I thought maybe I should stop for because I've actually been a little bit afraid and I felt very vulnerable. But then I look at people like one of my seminary classmates who took his children to Guatemala into what everybody else considered was not a very safe place. And they said, "How could you do that? You're being so irresponsible. Why would you take your kids? Aren't you afraid for their safety?" And he said, "Well, sure, we're careful. I'm afraid for their safety, but I'm more afraid that they will grow up and know that we had a chance to make a difference somewhere with the gifts that we have, and we chose not to because we were too afraid." Huh. That's a lesson to teach children, isn't it? And I think about that, and about how so much of what I do too is out of fear for my own physical safety or that of my children. While I don't want to be irresponsible, I also don't want to be afraid. I want to live into the gifts that God has given me. Now, for all of these, we can come quickly, and especially with that physical safety one, I come to it, the yeah buts, You know them. Yeah, but. It's okay. You don't want to put your kids in that. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. We are really good at making excuses. And we are really good at talking ourselves out of things. But God will keep coming to us and keep inviting us and keep pushing us. Because those excuses and those talking ourselves out of things, it's all fear. It's all fear. But God's love is bigger. God's love can work miracles. God's love comes into places that you would think were dangerous and awful and God-forsaken, and God makes something new. And that is what we trust in. And that is what we hope in. God says over and over and over in the Bible through so many people, do not be afraid. I am with you. Do not be afraid. I can work miracles through you that you have no idea of when you will step out in faith and leave that fear behind. Now, it doesn't mean the fear will go away. I'm not that naive. I know fear doesn't necessarily go away. But my prayer for you today is that you trust and have faith in the love of God so deeply that you can step out even into your fears to share love with the world that is living constantly in fear. We are called, just like Shifra and Pua were, as the people of God, to be lights of love and hope and life in a fearful world. And God is bigger than your fears. So let God work through you.